feel like a native Floridian now. And I'm going to tell you why. Because there's a sure sign now that you're starting to become one with the culture. And I'm feeling it. I'm feeling the groove. I'm feeling the Florida groove. Okay. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zender, once again, broadcasting from South Florida at the hospitality and graciousness of Waylon and Regina Dabbs. Today, I got my Sun Pass. A Sun Pass is a little electronic device that sticks to your windshield, and it allows you to go through those tolls in the express lane, because there are a lot of tolls around here. But the reason is they're not just being mean, you know, like they are in Pennsylvania collecting tolls. I think they collected tolls in Pennsylvania to build the Pennsylvania Turnpike. That was like in 1863. You know, 2 years before Lincoln was shot, and they're still collecting tolls. But down here, it's there's no state tax down here. So in order to fund the highways and such things, you pay a nominal fee, maybe a dollar, dollar and a quarter, to go through these various points. And it's a hassle to pull over, get a dollar, get a quarter, hand it over. You get the Sun Pass. It's not only discount, but it's automatically withdrawn. So I just... Boy, when I put that thing on my windshield, I just felt, wow, like I was a part of the culture here. So that's exciting to me. And as you can see, I'm rocking the reverse baseball cap again and my sunglasses. And for those on the Zender cam, you can see what kind of cap this is. Look. Yeah, it's Pittsburgh Steelers. I stole it from Jordan's room. I borrowed it, I should say. And if you can't beat them, join them. They're Steelers fans down here. There's a large contingent of Pittsburgh Steelers fans in South Florida. I can't explain it. You know, I thought I was getting a little vacation from Western PA, the Industrial Revolution up there, and the Steelers. And no, I'm not a big fan of the Steelers, in case you didn't know. I was grew up near Cleveland, Ohio, and my dad was a Browns fan, therefore I was a Browns fan. There's nothing worse than being a Browns fan. God help you. It's a life of misery and frustration, and I gave it up. But the Browns and the Steelers were mortal enemies. They were divisional rivals, and so I came to hate the Pittsburgh Steelers, especially Terry Bradshaw, because he was a very ugly man, but he was an excellent quarterback, and he kept beating the Browns. Love the guy now, Terry Bradshaw. But anyway, that's my story. So on to business here. It has come to my attention that I'm speaking tonight, not at Faith North Carolina, but to Faith North Carolina. I'm doing a broadcast this evening to the Ecclesia there. They have a Tuesday night Bible study. During the conference in October, I did it live from the podium. Today, I'm going to do it over Skype to a small group there, or maybe a large group for all I know. That happens tonight. If there's a way to link you to that broadcast, I will. I'm going to talk about oneness, the false teaching of oneness, that today there's to be a togetherness. Many people look at, and I'm warning you about this. Many people see the salvation of all and universal reconciliation, and they get that word universal in there, and they kind of freak out, and they think, oh, we're all one now, and we're all meant to be together, and the body of Christ isn't special. It's like a spiritual socialism where we're going to rob from the spiritually wealthy, give to the spiritually bankrupt, and everything's going to be even, and God's the father of everyone. And no, he's not right now. He's not the father. He's the God of everyone, but he's not the father of everyone. The phrase, the fatherhood of God, is misplaced truth. The phrase, the brotherhood of man, is misplaced truth. We're not all brothers right now. We have enemies. There are enemies of the cross of Christ. What fellowship does light have with darkness, or belief with unbelief? What fellowship does Christ have with Satan? There is no fellowship. And it sounds like they're starting to drill the pool back here. They're going to be doing some construction. Boy, I was on a roll. I got to close the door to my makeshift studio here. Hang on 1 second. I'm going to leave the tape running. You may speak quietly among yourselves, or maybe I'll sing you a hymn on my way over there. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. was blind, but now I see. And just because I was blind and now I see doesn't mean I can't criticize people who are blind. This is another thing that kind of agitates me on occasion. Martin, why do you criticize these other people so much? People who don't believe. You were once an unbeliever. Well, folks, if I didn't criticize anybody, I could not execute my charge given to me by the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 4:2, expose, rebuke, and entreat. Herald the word opportunely and inopportunely. For the era will be when they will not tolerate sound teaching, but their hearing will be turned aside from truth and toward myths. Oh, this. You know what? A myth is different than a lie. People aren't necessarily telling lies. The people in the Orthodox religion, they're not necessarily telling lies, but they are telling myths, false stories that they actually truly believe. Eternal torment, some cavern full of flames and devils that are going to poke you with pitchforks. It's a myth. All these teachings are a myth. So they're not necessarily liars, but they're myth tellers. In effect, they're liars. But the word used in 2 Timothy 4:2-4 is myth. Anyway, back to my charge. I have to criticize people because I'm to expose and rebuke. Many evangelists are only what I call one-third evangelists. That means that they only execute one out of the three requirements of an evangelist, according to the Apostle Paul. Expose, rebuke, and entreat. A lot of people, they love to entreat. They'll tell you nice things about Jesus, but they won't offend you because you're right, I'm right, everybody's right, Satan is right. There's some good points about Satan, and there's some good points about Billy Graham and Joel Osteen. There are some great points about Billy Joel, namely that he wrote Still Rock and Roll to Me. Love that song. The album Glass Houses, that really rocked my world back in 1980. But anyway, Paul criticized the Jews, as we're studying in my Romans series at the ZWTF. And so here was a man who was once a hardcore Jew himself, hardcore Israelite, and he counted it all dung. So we criticize in order to help. So the brotherhood of man, forget about it, we're not all brothers. There are differences between you and other people, but that's just not loving. How is it not loving? You can still love the people. You just can't fellowship with them, because what fellowship does an unbeliever have with a believer? Doesn't mean you can't go to the grocery store and have your asparagus checked out by an unbeliever or a Satan worshiper or a churchgoer. Oh, sorry for the redundancy there. Of course you can. So the fatherhood of God. And again, I'm preempting the whole thing because I haven't even gotten my notes together for the talk tonight. I'm just talking extemporaneously right now. But tonight I'm going to get my notes together and present a sane, rational, intelligent report to the faith of the faithful of faith. I'm going to do that tonight, and I'll probably report back to you tomorrow. Maybe this one note, I might not be able to get a Thursday show out. No, a Wednesday show out on Wednesday. This is why. Tomorrow's Wednesday. No, wait. As you're listening to me, it is Wednesday. So I'm talking about the Thursday show because tomorrow morning I am leaving to go across the state, and I'm going to be staying with some brethren in Englewood, Florida, which is in the Port Charlotte area. So I'm going to be traveling all day. I'm going to be heading across Alligator Alley, and depending on what time I get there, I also have an appointment to take care of tomorrow morning. I don't know if I'm going to have time to get this show, so don't panic if there is no show up tomorrow morning. I will make it up on the weekend. I will do double duty. I'll do it for you. I'll do it for the truth. I'll do it for Christ. I'll do it for myself because I love this show. I love to get this out to you, but I might be a little shaky here the rest of the week. Thursday and Friday, we'll see. But I will make it up. Keep coming back to martincenter.com and this show because it will be done. And this, if you are going to be in the Orlando area this weekend, Sunday, or you want to be in the Orlando area, there is a meeting going to take place. This is something that has just developed. If I was on a newscast, I would be saying, this just in. Or we now have breaking news from Orlando. There's going to be a meeting Sunday. I'm not sure where it's going to be, except it's going to be in the town of Tavares at the community library. So I do know exactly where it's going to be. What I meant to say was I'm not sure who's hosting it. But I do know, I do have contact information for you. Get this straight. Now, one day, this Sunday, what's today, the 18th? Today's Tuesday, the 18th, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 5 days from now. 23rd, is that the 23rd of February? Somewhere around there. And you're going to Orlando because it's warmer down here than it is up north. That's all I'm going to say. But if you're anywhere in the orbit of Orlando, you want to go to this meeting at Tavares, T-A-V-A-R-E-S. Wasn't that a group in the 70s, Tavares? What did they sing? Heaven Must Be Missing an Angel? Yeah, it could be. Here's your contact number. Call Mary Ellen. She's a friend of mine down here, and she works to make these meetings happen. Her number is 954-547-9014. Mary Ellen, get on down over up to Orlando, Tavares. It's northwest of the city. We're going to have a meeting there at a community library. That's tentative, but it's really pretty sure. And I'm going to drive there from the west coast of Florida, and I'm looking forward to it. Now, in the book of Hebrews, verse 13 starts to wind up the book. We've touched on that. This is the crescendo, the climax of the epistle. And I want to read A. E. Nock's commentary here on the climax of the epistle. That is verse 13 through verse 25. This is the climax of the epistle. Now you know where I got that. I stole it from A. E. Nock. This is his commentary. The choice is between faith and apostasy. I think some of you can apply this to today. I think we can all apply it to today because we had the same choice today between faith and apostasy. Now, don't be saying the Martin Zender says we have a choice. Well, you can say that. Don't say we have a free choice. I said we have a choice, as the Hebrews did, between faith and apostasy. It's just not free. That should go without saying between you and me. We know that God's in control of everything. The reference is to the ritual of the golden calf. We already talked about that. It would have been, listen to this. This is cool. It would have been apostasy to go outside the camp had there not been apostasy in the camp. For the Hebrews, it would have been apostasy to go outside the camp, as we've been discussing, had it not been for the apostasy in the camp. Had there not been apostasy inside the camp. But there was. And the camp was soiled and sullied. And now they were to go outside, as we've been discussing. It is disgusting too. I'll have to add that. Israel had again ceased to be the congregation of the Lord. And they must either take sides with Messiah, who suffered outside the gate, or apostatize. An apostate recognizes truth and refuses to obey it. That is A.E. Nock's definition of an apostate, somebody who recognizes truth and refuses to obey it. If that's the case, and it probably is, then I would have to say that very few in Christianity are apostates because they never recognized the truth. The original generation in Paul's day, they did apostatize because they heard the truth. They fell away from it. They were dissuaded away from it by Judaizers, by the seduction of philosophy. Their expectation was taken from them by a longing to belong to a system. The deception has been systematized by Satan, sanitized, put into institutions, made into institutions, painted white, just like the tombs of our Lord's day. So it's that dramatic today. We're going to be finishing up this book soon, but it is that dramatic today, ladies and gentlemen. It's no less of a thing than this. The difference between faith and rank unbelief. It's like being a little bit pregnant. You either believe God or you don't. You either believe Paul's message or you don't. For the Jews, it was either suffer outside the camp or die inside the camp. So obviously my exhortation to you is to suffer outside the camp. Don't give up your call no matter what. I'm here to encourage you. You're there to encourage me. We're going to get through this together. We're not going to go with the flow. We're not going to be tempted. The temptations are everywhere. None of us are above being seduced. None of us are above succumbing to lies. Satan is still after us. He can't take away our salvation, but he can take away our appreciation and apprehension of the truth. And by the grace of God, I'm not going to let that happen to you.